sense God wanting to do something. Amen. Has he already began to do something? Say amen to that. Say happy Father's Day to all the fathers this morning. And if no one has already stopped you, we have a gift for all the men this morning. You don't want to miss it. It's the most expensive gifts you could ever get. We want to just acknowledge the men in our church. So make sure you pick that up on the way out. We appreciate you. We value your input in everything that's done. And as you just think about today, usually the conversation centers around fathers, around the difficulty of raising kids and the role that we play in our children. And man, you're not going to totally get a get out of jail free card, but we're going to look at this morning the value that God has for you, each and every one of us. What did I do? All right. Teach them right from the beginning. Here's a thought that I came across this week, and I thought this was really, really good. It says this. It says, the greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. And the author, it is unknown, and then the article went right into this. Now, that is in a perfect world, that would be the case, that the greatest gift the father can give his children is to love their mother. But here in this article, it says this. In a story of the worst Mother's Day gifts ever given, the Houston Chronicle wrote an article about Jerry Maltz. Now, it's bad enough that you would give your wife a bad gift, but they actually put this guy's name in the article saying that the worst gift ever given was an iron. And then the article ends, and I won't go with the whole article, but the article ends that he got the message when she gave him an ironing board for Father's Day. So hear me when I say this. I think back, and I did some really dumb things when I was young. And I hope and pray that I don't do quite as many today. And I'm asking you not to ask Becky any questions about any of it. Anybody else say that this morning? That sometimes we just know we make some mistakes, and sometimes maturity allows us to be a little more sensitive, allow us to do the things that we're supposed to do and separate sometimes emotions. And you know, like I said, I think back and I've made plenty of mistakes. And if you just hang around with me today, I'll probably make another one or two this afternoon. And, you know, that we just do that. And we go through these things. And it seems like to me that each generation sometimes seems to have these do's and don'ts. And each generation tries to look at the previous generation and not copy what they think is wrong and adapts to what they feel is a better solution to the problems. And I think that's great. I think we need that. I think we need to be sensitive and constantly be making changes that we feel are necessary. But here's the thing. The problem with the problem is I think that we have an interpretation of what's wrong and what's right. And so many of us have a different idea of what's wrong and what's so right. And I think in the day and age that we live in, that we're having conversations that we would never have 10 or 15 years ago. Amen? We're having conversations that we wouldn't have 10 or 15 years ago. Some of them I think is good. Some of them I think is necessary. Some of them I think, because of maybe my age, that I think some of them are not as good. But here's where I'm going with this morning. We can all have an opinion on any subject. Amen? We can all have an opinion on any subject. We can move on either side of the fence on any issue. But the final line is God determines what's right or wrong. We can all have an opinion. We can all stand on the side of the issues that we think is right, and you have a right to do that, but the final line is God determines what's right and wrong, and no matter what we believe, God's authority on what is right and wrong is how we will be judged, how we need to live our lives, and whether we like it or not, He has the final say. Amen? Now, here also, we may not agree on every issue, but we can agree that we're broken. Let me try that again. We may not see eye to eye on every issue, but if we're going to be honest, we have to at least agree that we are broken people. Amen. Goes without saying, we need God to help us and intervene in our mess. That'd be a good place to say amen to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where our text is this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verse 6 to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 6 and reading down to verse 18. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's my thoughts as we take a look at this portion of Scripture. Three-point message, here it is. I'll give it to you right up front. God loves crackpots. God turns our weaknesses into strengths. And the last part is God uses crackpots. You didn't have to do that. Just teasing. All right, point number one. God loves crackpots. I want to say something to you here. In 1984, I moved here from Texas to Pennsylvania, and as I was trying to establish from being a Texan to a person in PA, I noticed a few things. I noticed that they didn't know what "I'm fixing to do anything" means. I noticed that they didn't know what "I'm fixing to" means. And then in conversation, I used the word "bubbler," and nobody knew that I wanted a water fountain, because everybody in Milwaukee knows what a bubbler is. I couldn't understand some things, and then I noticed something else that I've never noticed anywhere that I lived before. I noticed in Pennsylvania that there are rooms that nobody goes in. You look at me silly, but I know Fred's from the valley. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's people in Pennsylvania that have rooms that all you do is go into them and keep them clean, but you never spend any time in them. They're the showrooms. They're the showroom living room. They're the showroom dining room. And it's beautiful. And as you look at it, you can walk by and you can say, that is a wonderful room. And as you're saying that, they kind of just move you that you don't go in there. I've seen several of these rooms and sometimes there's white carpet. And I think, who would put white carpet in? And then I have to say, don't let you in there. I go, okay, now I know why they have white carpet. And all these things are on the display there. You walk by, but you never use the room. Now, if you have one of these rooms, it's okay. I just never had any room like that. We were raising our kids. Every spot was valuable. Every spot had Kool-Aid or something on it. And if you left the spot, somebody put something there. So, you know, the only way that you will never be a crackpot is to never be used. Amen? You look in that room, there was the best of the best. And you never touched it. It never got cracked. It never got broke because the only one that ever was allowed to touch it was the one that was cleaning it. God loves crackpots because he knows we don't live in a room that's never used. He knows that we live in a world that never stops putting their hands on us, that never stops trying to maul us in some way or another. We live in a world that is more like the scratch and dent sale than that beautiful room that's never used. And God has to get us to the point where we realize that we're broken, that we have to realize that even though we're broken, God puts value to us. And here to me is a liberating thought. God didn't create you to be a decoration. Oh, that should have been an amen. God didn't create you to be some showcase up on a shelf that never gets used, never puts themselves in harm's way, never is useful to the community that you're put there. And because you're cracked, doesn't mean God doesn't want to use you. Amen? Because you're cracked does not mean that you have no value. And if we looked at verses 6 and 7 here, we can see that God tells us that he actually gets glory when his light shines into the darkness through us. That he actually gets glory for that. God's light, when looking at God, should be seen through God's people. God's power being revealed to people that we come into contact with is being an earthly vessel that God can use, and that brings him glory. That brings him honor. See, God can work without us. Amen to that. But God chooses to use us. He doesn't need to, but he chooses to use us. He chose to put his power and his grace and his mercy and his wisdom and his kindness all in us so that he could work through us. And if you want to put a smile on God's face, allow him to do that in your life. And you will put a smile on God's face. Allow him to work through you. Brings joy to him. And you look at a clay pot and it's an earthen vessel and ordinary clay doing ordinary things. But when God uses you, you become amazing. You become more than what you could do in yourself. More than what strengths you have. More than what wisdom that you have. And a crackpot has no value until you put it to use. A created pot has no value sitting on that shelf until it's being used, An empty pot has no value until you put it to use. It's not useful until you use it. And then to think God specializes in broken. Anybody ever been broken? Anybody still broken? Anyone still trying to ask God to glue together something that is has fallen off or broken or old age or whatever is gotten involved there? God specializes in broken. And I'm so glad that he doesn't give up on us because we have a few dings and dents. Amen? That he doesn't give up on us. Broken pieces fit together when the potter is putting them together. And God uses his Holy Spirit as the glue kind of a thing, if you will, to put us back together. And then here's something really weird. I think God loves yard sales. Because he takes broken junk and puts it back together and makes it beautiful and makes it useful again and makes it purposeful. Jeremiah 18 says the prophet Jeremiah was instructed to go see what God had in store for Israel. Very familiar, the potter and the wheel in Jeremiah 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working on the wheel, but the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best to him. God was giving instruction to the prophet Jeremiah for the nation of Israel. The principle here is the same for us. God doesn't throw out, he renews. God doesn't have a bin where he just says, you no longer can be used. He reshapes the broken and he takes the unwanted pieces of clay and he molds them together into something beautiful, into something that you can't even imagine at times. And then in this portion of scripture, he says, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Amen? God loves to use crackpots because it goes back to our desperation that we talked about this morning. It goes back to sometimes we're broken and we're waiting on a blessing and God saying, if you just remain faithful, pray through. Storm heaven, don't give up. I have plans for you. You have value. Number two, God turns our weaknesses into strengths. Some are broken, and some are today trying to find what good can come out of these experiences that we have gone through. Now, anybody but me, at the time that you're going through a hard time, you don't see any value in what's going on. All you see is you don't like what's going on. All you see is that it was good, or so you thought it was good before, and you don't see that an outcome can come after this as being something good or better. But God says sometimes, I will take these experiences to refresh you, to renew you, to allow you to go to the next level. Sometimes God will use the things that you go through to help someone else. Where we get value is when we, in our brokenness, turn that brokenness over to God and allow him to use it, and sometimes that brokenness turns out to be a blessing to someone else because God can use you. God uses them to strengthen us, both in our lives and in the lives that we come in contact with. God uses them to strengthen and encourage others. Remember a few weeks ago, I said the first Christians were called unlearned and ignorant. And the scripture, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You know what? And I don't say this anything crazy. Is God has a sense of humor. If God can use me, he can use anybody. Because I know I know most of you didn't know me when I was young, but I go home, and to this day, after being in the ministry 20 plus years, I still have friends that I go to high school with that I cannot believe that you're a preacher. I cannot believe that you're doing this or doing that. I cannot believe how you've changed the way you talk and the way you think and the way you act and all areas. God has a sense of humor. He can take broken to help broken. Did you know that if Billy Graham, Susan will probably appreciate this, did you know that if Billy Graham would take preaching 101, he would fail? He would fail. If he took 202, they'd probably throw him out of the class. And why I say that is because preaching 101 is going to tell you that you need a three-point message all the time. Or you need to take one point and just draw it out to the point of change. And what I'm saying with Billy Graham is Billy Graham had one message. I followed him for 40 years. I was saved under his ministry at 14 years old. He has one message, the cross. He'll do it 1,000 other ways, but you'll end up at the cross. And there's nothing wrong with that. Somehow I think he was successful. And if you stop and you look at D.L. Moody, it'd be the same thing. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman. No jokes, I won't tell any jokes. But we could tell lots of jokes about the shoe salesman. We see TV series and all kinds of things that talk funny about that. But he was under the anointing of God, and we watched a shoe salesman start Moody Bible College, Moody Press, reach so many lives for the sake of Christ. And then, you know, that's what gives me hope. That gives me the ability and the thought that, God, you could use them, you can use me, you can use the experiences that I've gone through. Because to me, the best message that I've ever heard comes from somebody's experience that they share with somebody else. The best message is somebody standing up giving a testimony of how good God is and then go into detail on how God changed their life and how he wants to change their life. The Apostle Paul, and we see all of that, and we see that after he surrendered and we know he didn't go easy, that God used him. And he asked that God would take the thorn in the flesh, a.k.a. his weakness. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. What is he saying? I could take it, Paul, but I'm not going to. Because my grace is sufficient for you, and I will take that weakness and make it a strength in other people's lives. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul goes to a young Timothy and he says this, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. So I'm telling you this morning that if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel understaffed today, that's fitting. If you feel tired and exhausted, if you feel that people are moving not fast enough, God can turn weaknesses into strength. When we turn those weaknesses over to him and his strength, hear me, his strength becomes our strength. See, the devil wants you to believe that you're doing this all by yourself. No one ever feels the way you feel. You are the only one going through something like this, pushing you to give up and be powerless. And God's saying, just turn that over to me. Take your brokenness and give to me. And I'm the potter. I'm going to mend you. I'm going to make a purpose for you. I'm going to make you useless. No, useful. Number three is God uses crackpots. So we looked at this. God loves crackpots. God turns our weaknesses into our strengths. And finally, God uses crackpots. And I got to admit to you, I love calling you crackpots. If I could do it more, I would. Why? Because I am one too. That's why we're here. We're asking God to do something amazing in our lives. We're broken and we're asking God to do something. There's not one of us sitting here that don't need Jesus. There's not one of us here that would make heaven without Jesus. And there's not one here that in our own merits could say we're okay or worthy to be in a relationship with a holy God. Why? Because we're sinners. Because we're broken. Because our vessels are oozing water and needing the glue of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, needing God to do something far more than what we can do. And God gets glory. God gets honor. God puts a smile on his face when he can turn these broken lives and these broken vessels, so to speak. And yeah, they got ugly glue marks all over them, but God uses that. And it turns it into a badge of honor because he's brought us through that. Amen? That should be a big amen. God uses those as a badge of honor, showing that not only can he reach our lives, but he wants to work in other people's lives. So as we close this morning, dads, be all you can be for your family, your kids. Mom, be all that you can be for all of those that you come in contact with. Rosedale, as a church, be all that you can be for God. Did I get everybody? Be all that you can be for God. My last kind of thought here is, what does it mean to be a broken vessel? If you look at 2 Corinthians 7-9, one more time. Let the light of God shine out of darkness. Let God's knowledge work in our lives so that he gets glory. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. Amen? We are treasures to God. Clay, yes. Breakable, yes. But important to God. Containers made by a holy and perfect God. All different sizes, all different shapes, all different purposes. But we are all made to be these jars of clay. And I thought about this, and maybe this doesn't mean much to you, but it did as I was thinking about this. The jars of clay is what they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in. And I'm thinking that there they were, probably clay jars holding the Word of God, and were vessels of God, treasures of God, holding the Word of God. Holding the power within us to allow God to do these amazing things. The light of God entrusted to us and dwelling inside of us. Amen? We don't have to back up to anybody. You got glue marks? Praise the Lord. Use it as a badge of honor and use that experience to help someone else. Be sensitive to maybe allowing God to use that in a miraculous way. I think God was speaking to us today. I think it started right from the start this morning. I think it was in worship. I think it's right here so that we can walk out of it. You have value. God cares about it. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. Maybe you needed encouragement. Maybe you needed to hear that God cares. Maybe you needed to hear you have purpose or a value. Maybe you needed to hear this morning that it's okay that you have some glue marks. Let God use you this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Each one of us has value in your eyes. Each one of us has purpose. Help us every day, Lord God, to see where that leads us and what we need to do, Lord God. Help us as a family, mom and dad, to be all that we're supposed to be, to raise our children in the way of the Lord. Help us, Lord God, to be sensitive that in our workplace, in all areas of our life, that we would be sensitive to hear what you're wanting us to say, maybe to a coworker. Have the nerve to maybe invite someone. Have the ability to maybe expose ourselves to some of our flaws so that someone that we come in contact with might see. We're not perfect. We're just saved by the grace of God. That we need Jesus as much as anyone else. Help us, Lord God, to be and do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.